SFJ 4x4 Studios presents.
In my oversized four-wheel drive Jeep.
A Jeep podcast starring industry experts.
Pure monosity. What? Say that again.
With mad scientist Scott Brown.
Use my drill press as a sort of lathe.
Our host, Neil Simpson.
If one light goes out, they all go out.
Filled with shenanigans.
We are really professional with Jeeps.
This is I Speak Jeep.
Good morning, afternoon, evening, wherever, however you are joining us. This is the I Speak Jeep podcast. And my name is Neil with SFJ4x4.com. And good morning, Justin. He was ready. He was right in
there.
Yeah,
he was.
So yeah. I'm going to recognize that because he gets first. And that's, I'm going to make sure that we say that right here and now. As I was mentioning, my name is Neil.
Are you sure?
And I am joined by the very talented individuals on my left and my right.
Not sharing shirts this one time, right, Jeffrey?
The twins?
No, we're not.
The twins,
I had to look.
Twinning as we like to. If you ever, there's a YouTube video out there where we make these guys, you know, hold something in their one arm and you know take a picture from behind, and said we were going to send that to their wives and see if they could pick that their wives could pick out who they are, you know.
Mistakes Scott's, have happened.
Scott's apparently got 20 pounds on Jeff, is what I hear. But
yeah, that's word on the street. Cannot confirm or deny. I think Jeff might need to eat more, just saying.
Jeff has the worst diet in all of history, of all of human history.
Yeah.
He certainly has the worst diet of anybody employed by SFJ 4x4. And yet I do believe he's authentically.
I remember when I was, you know, like that, when I didn't have good food at home, you know.
I didn't have good food
at home. When was that?
When was that, Scott?
Growing up was rough. Just saying.
I'm just saying.
Bacon Jeff, was a meal.
How many years have you been married now?
Jeff looks like a middle schooler was allowed to go into a convenience store unsupervised.
That's what his
lunches look like
all
every day. And fried pierogies.
Well, of course.
No doubt. So, anywho, joined by the Italian stallion, the producer.
Jeff Schermani.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. And I had the kindest words, customer reach out over the weekend after spending some time with you. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's really valuable to address the mad scientist and his peculiarities and us as individuals, the SFJ 4x4 difference, right?
Yes. You got to embrace your weird.
Right. Let's make it weird. I've shared that recently on a couple different podcasts, America and Hustle and this one. We're here for the weird and the customer review. When they reached out to me, was just how authentic their experience was with you, and they appreciated the time and the diligence. And I said, you know, that's just what makes us uniquely us. We embrace that, we prioritize that, but also you as the mad scientist, this idea that folks who are watching the YouTube videos, listening to the podcast, coming into our brick and mortar, this is not an act.
No.
This cast of characters is really this peculiar group of people who have bonded together under the guise of a business to both build really wicked off-road vehicles, but also to entertain and inform people.
Yep.
You know, so a shout out to you and you know what you did for those customers over the weekend, as far as just taking the time and energy to make what we did mechanically relatable to them.
Mm-hmm.
And allow them to appreciate what it is that we do. You know, so that is the testament to Doc Brown, the mad scientist.
He's basically introduced me at this point.
There you go. That was it.
So who are you?
I am mad scientist Scott Brown.
There you go. You actually have your name.
Yeah. And so everybody always enjoys what was Scott doing today. I was investigating what makes an M38 spring an M38 spring.
Yes.
And now I know stuff nobody else knows.
And nobody actually really cares, right? Like nobody...
That's theme of my life.
No.
But now I am set up for that 3 hour long boring discussion that will put you to sleep.
So yes.
We're good.
And
I found out why stuff doesn't fit now, so it's good.
Yes. And I love because that becomes very relevant to you. It'll be packed into your brain somewhere and in
will make
10
me
years
forget something more relevant.
Something to do with your wife. But she'll love you anyway. Yes. No doubt.
So we're gonna go through comments real quick and just catch up a little bit. So besides Justin chiming in right at the beginning, we got Darla saying good morning. Rob from Daddy Jeep saying morning, guys. Brad Davis, good morning, fellas.
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Daddy Jeep called me out for not having a table for the laptop.
You need a TV tray.
He does.
I am here to support that. We already got Grandma's couch. Where's Grandma's TV tray?
You're not wrong.
Right.
So anyway.
He might eat better if he has a TV tray.
I might have a TV tray. Now
the question is.
It has to be in the metal one, though.
Is it duct taped or is it braced together somehow wonky?
In some type of tremendously cattywampus manner?
Is in pretty good
shape. No. It would be a really nice, like, solid wood TV tray.
I
really think that old school metal with the little tin top and the brass
maybe with a picture
legs.
Of a duck on it preferred.
Oh, totally got to be a duck or some type of like
a goose
flower.
It's got to be big enough that the cookie tin can fit with the sewing stuff.
Where is the cookie tin? The cookie tin, the problem is there were cookies in it last time.
We're looking for donations.
And we
need to refill it with cookies.
We put it, it's up in the employee area because we were hammering those cookies last time.
Yeah.
So Keith said morning.
Morning.
Roy says good morning, fellas. Dale says morning, everyone. And your wife, Amy, says good morning, guys.
Outstanding. Thank you for everyone who's joining us. For all three of you who are listening in your ear holes on your favorite streaming platform,
I don't know where he learned to count.
We appreciate all of you, because that's really only one past your brother. Or two past your brother, I should say. You know what? We appreciate you guys. No, realistically, you have successfully made this podcast one of the top rising automotive podcasts and the top 25% performing podcasts of all podcasts out there right now. You have been a valuable person supporting that. And so we thank you. You too can jump into the comments and be part of this really cool group of people who are all saying good morning, and we're trying to address and identify them.
I'm starting to worry that it's going to smack me in the
face. Go ahead. Well, I don't know. You hammered the microphone, Jeffrey.
I was trying to avoid your hand.
I'm embracing my wife's Italian culture today, talking with my hands. So you too can jump on and watch these things and be part of the comments every Monday morning on the Book of Faces at 10:19 live. You can see me rocking my best Gen Z socks and sandals.
We already picked up for that.
We had that happen today.
And he made sure to put
his foot up on his leg so that it's in camera, so you see the sock
proof.
And sandal.
That was not
proof. If you're watching us live,
not travesty
intentional.
Next thing,
I'm going to have a Celsius drink or a Prime drink, energy drinks. And,
don't forget to pull something out of your fanny pack while you're doing that.
No, well, I don't think there's a darn Gen Zer out there who's rocking a fanny pack at the moment.
No, it could be.
I did watch a YouTube video with a straight up couple young YouTubers doing some really cool camper builds, and the fanny pack was the fanny pack that Savage wore at Vegas last year,
the inside out one.
Well, his was upside down,
that's what it was.
Savage, do you remember what you
doesn't
tried to say that
then?
Was because it was 100% a fanny pack.
We're yelling off camera for him.
A shoulder bag. So somehow if you wear it at your waist, like you did in the 80s and 90s, it's not cool because it's a fanny pack at that point, right? Which was actually carried on your hip or your butt. But now if you take the exact same bag and you wear it across your chest as a, quote, shoulder bag, that apparently is acceptable by today's standard.
I'm just going to embrace that I'm not cool anymore. And it is what it is.
Hey, I rock the fanny pack at our shows. It's incredibly convenient and ridiculous by all standards. So I'm here for it.
Yeah. And you too can get an SFJA fanny pack.
You can. Log on to our website and you can wear it as a shoulder bag or on your fanny. We support them both.
Yes. Don't judge.
Oh, my gracious. We are going to be talking about...
Let's talk about the title first before you...
What's the title?
I made your horn louder, and that is specifically a tow mater quote.
What?
I couldn't. I thought he was talking to me. He made my horn louder. I was like, "Well, buddy, I could make your horn louder."
I couldn't
too.
Repair your brakes, so I made your horn louder. Specifically, a Tow Mater quote.
I love it from Tow Mater. I couldn't repair your brakes, so I made your horn louder.
Yeah.
Who did he say that to, or is it just a generic? Did he say that to Come Lightning on,
this
McQueen?
Is, you love this movie.
Did what he say it to Lightning McQueen?
I can't believe you're asking me this right now.
Well, we got 80 zillion different movies to reference. So I don't know which one.
But does he say it to Lightning McQueen? I don't remember that.
We got shorts now and everything else. They've literally made it like as big as they can. So we need to know references.
I love the Lightnings. And 1 and 3 are my favorite.
You can't just tell us this, Jeff, and then not have a reference.
That's okay. Folks, we are, that title, that tease title, we are going to be doing a multi-part series on towing, right? And so we want you to hang in there with us. We know that from this grouping of people who are certainly present with us on the live stream, that there is a number of people who have, you know, tow pigs or, you know, are towing their Jeeps. And so we'll be talking a little bit about some stories from our own experiences towing. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, because of all things Jeep, we do want to delve into specifics with towing with our Jeeps. And so,
yes, when you have a half ton JK or a 1 ton JT,
no doubt.
That's right.
Or if you're, you know, an individual, a lot of the forums are, you know, people are terrified of towing with their Jeeps.
Yes.
And other, I saw on the KL forums that I'm in just because, you know, because
you're you,
because of me, you know, people towing with their KLs and everybody getting all excited over the fact you can't do that. That thing's too big. And I'm thinking
all the time,
you know? Yeah. So we're going to be doing a multi-part series. You're going to want to tune in, not just today, but certainly next week. And, you know, maybe we'll spill it into a third session as necessary.
So the plan is what this week we're talking our own experiences and stories. Next week's the technical.
For the Jeep specific, you're going to want to definitely tune in and hear about Jeep specific, both old school towing and then that might spill over into some of the new
school applications. So I think we just plan on 3 episodes because after we talk about technical capabilities of the different Jeeps throughout the years,
right.
The following episode we talk about how you can beef up your rig to make it a better towing rig.
There we go, folks. There we go. And that's
the producer has spoken.
That sets the scene for the next 3 episodes. You're going to want to know and hear about towing. So it's not just you towing, you know, your garden trailer with your Jeep, which we fully support. But the idea that you're going to hear some of the shenanigans that we've exposed ourselves to or are privy to from our experiences.
Mm-hmm. Well, Justin just chimed in. I tried towing my F-350 with my YJ. It didn't work very well.
Justin, I'm going to want to know more. Yes. I need more deets on that one, man.
I want to see the pictures.
Absolutely. No, there was pictures.
Absolutely.
That's required.
Without question. And we've done some crazy stuff as far as towing, you know, with vehicles and
trying to pull a semi with a house on it.
What?
With daisy chaining Jeeps.
That's not the exact towing that I was thinking about, but I do see the application. So yeah.
The confidence level as we went into it was really what was the problem.
That we were
there was no problem with the confidence.
We were blazing. We had Coolioons the size of Texas. We were ready to go, man.
And we didn't.
It was all that little strap of yours, I'm telling you.
It was
you.
The little strap. The moment the semi saw your little strap you produced, it was like, I'm not moving anywhere.
Well, Jess was longer than the road was. So what do you do with that?
It was a pretty girthy strap.
We'll be back after a quick break.
You love listening to podcasts, but have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? Maybe you want to build a brand, grow your business, or are looking for an excuse to talk about your favorite hobby. Whatever your reason for making a podcast, Buzzsprout is the place to start. Since 2009, Buzzsprout has helped over 300,000 people launch their own podcasts. Buzzsprout walks you step by step through the whole process and will give you powerful tools to start, grow, and monetize your podcast. Ready to get started? Click the link in the show notes to get our free step-by-step guide to starting your podcast today.
Jeff, you did something. You took our sound away. You gave it
and
back.
It's back.
You gave it back.
Don't
you
bump
it,
anything.
You
see if we
Jeff,
had a TV tray.
Stop moving.
If you had a TV tray, this would not happen.
That's right. Grandma's TV. Folks, if you're listening at home or if you're one
donations.
Of our dedicated viewing audience and a sidebar to Patreons, thank you all of you who are participating in that. If somebody would like to support this podcast with Grandma's TV tray, somebody
look,
has got to
it would
have.
It looks so nice right there.
Yes.
It's got to be the tin one, right? Yes. I've got the oak, you know, the nice wooden ones.
We
don't
need
want
a laptop
that.
Not to overheat the thermal conductivity.
The only thing that conductivity of the metal.
The worst of it is that we went to this studio setup in the heat of summer.
Yes,
and my laptop has been roasting me. As we're getting into the fall season, I'm actually looking forward to having the heat,
which is why we need the TV tray now. So did you freeze?
I love our little retro studio. Let's just be honest. It's so fitting. It's so fitting. So. All right. The I Speak Jeep is about the rugged individualism, that blatant confidence that inspires us to attempt to pull out a semi-truck with my house on it in the middle of a field with inadequate strappage in the process. So what is going on in our lives? Because ultimately we do the Jeep things. We're going to be talking about the Jeep things here. What's going on in our personal and professional lives otherwise?
Well, so on a 36 update, I've been slowly installing a bolt a day. Just about, for those who don't know, there's 110 different body bolts that hold my body down to the frame on my 36.
I didn't know that.
They're all 5/16 fine thread because that's the way old Ford made them.
Huh.
So I've been slowly working on that. Everyone has been involved. Children, my wife, my brother stopped by to say hi. I made him hold bolts.
Nice. Nice.
So we're getting there. And then I blinked at my wife and I said, you know, I can't physically pick up my door right now, but would you be willing to? And she did.
And so for those of you that didn't catch last week's episode, Scott ran into a park bench.
A park bench assaulted Scott.
Hard.
It assaulted him hard.
Assault a battery. The park bench has been charged.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm surprised it's not in our scrap hopper out back yet. That's what I'm thinking.
It's mostly wood. Thank God.
I'm surprised it didn't make it in the fire they had this weekend.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and then we did have a campfire, but my wife took care of all of that, so I just that was not harmed. For those who don't know, I can't start a fire to start save my life, but she did
it
with
a
single match, and it was fine. I bring propane torches to the mix, and it goes out on me, so I don't know what I'm doing wrong.
We're going to put that on a YouTube video for people next. We're going to, like, how long does it take Scott? It'll be like a challenge.
I think we set up three or four different, we each put together our own little fire pit and see who gets a good fire going.
I think that's actually, I think what we're going
to
do is we're going to take an afternoon or something. We're going to go to Scott's house. We're going to give everybody about 15 minutes to procure resources from Scott's yard.
I'm in trouble already.
We're going to, if you have any interest in what we call the SFJ 4x4 difference, folks, you're going to want to listen to today's recording of the American Hustle. That is our sister podcast. It talks about the standardized opportunities that we all have in life for success. Okay. We're going to bring that process to Scott's kind of pathetic nature of starting fire. We're going to go to your house. We're going to give everybody about 15, 20 minutes to procure the same resources that you have available.
I'm ready to go because it doesn't matter. I still won't win.
And we're going to do the one match challenge.
Oh, one match?
I'm so screwed.
One match challenge.
The one match challenge.
That makes it very interesting.
We're going to do the one match challenge.
He gets Flint and whatever because he's Mr. Camper.
I love it.
He doesn't get a match.
I love it.
Never mind.
Jeff thinks he's coming with the fire. He's here for it.
Yeah, that confidence level.
Let me point something out.
The strap that went across the road.
There's a reason I joined the fire department. It wasn't to put fires out. It's because I enjoyed playing with fire.
I'm
wetting down your guys' wood.
All right. We're gonna do something.
No biggie. I got ways around that.
We're gonna do something, folks. So, Jeffrey, anything on your front?
So the biggest thing that I've been working on is that music event that we hosted at the beginning of this year. I realized that our prize pool has grown too big for tax regulations to be able to just give out. I can't just give out $1,000 cash without any tax implications. So I'm now in the process of developing a nonprofit organization in the name of my late cousin, Jason Heberly, and building that. So learning about how nonprofit structure works and the all the legalities of it, all the steps, how many hoops you have to jump through to get that tax exempt status. And it starts with filing with the state, then you file with the federal, then you file another one with the state, then you go back, file another one with the federal.
Okay.
And as you build these documents, you have to keep going back and forth till you're fully established.
The
most interesting part that I had learned was that you can't just host a music event as a nonprofit organization. You have to do more than that, because even though it is free to enter, it's cash prizes to help those local artists. The legality of it is no different than American Idol or America's Got Talent or anything like that, which is a for-profit structure. So you have to prove what you're doing for the community. So part of that is we're actually developing a musical lending library for instruments.
Oh, that's excellent. Cool. So that is fantastic. And you know, if this is one of your first couple times joining us, that is this specific event does happen. It's intended to be an annual event happening in Erie, Pennsylvania, where largely Jason was, that was his home territory. He was a local independent artist. Jeffrey helped kind of musically produce and make sure that Jason could bring his skill set to the local, you know, the local band and music scene. And now this is an opportunity in Jason's absence to kind of honor that experience and the many lives that he touched. And obviously it was a very successful event that you hosted previously. And we wish you tremendous success in establishing the 501c3. Those of you who are unaware, my life before SFJ 4x4 are actually kind of in congruence with it. I was actually in the nonprofit sector, so I know how challenging that can be. Honestly, arguably more challenging than for-profit.
That was way more challenging.
Honestly, for-profit, and you have experience, you know, you previously had your own business as well. For-profit actually has, at the organic or the startup levels, has less regulatory oversight than for-profit or in the nonprofit does. So so we recognize the challenges that is.
Surprisingly so much more involved than just starting like an LLC or an independent corporation.
Sure.
To turn around and go, okay, well, I'm forming a corporation, but I have to form a board of directors. I have to form a set of bylaws, and I have to meet these standards. And there's additional forms that you have to file every year that a normal LLC does not. And it's like, wow, this is...
Sure.
That's a whole new ballgame.
Yeah.
And... Daddy Jeeps
there's
in the comments.
There's a ton of comments on there. So well, there's some worthwhile.
So yeah, worthwhile. A couple things. Justin said the park bench hit him. You have it on camera. So I wish we had that on camera.
I wish. That would have been fantastic.
Darla said you can do the one match challenge at her house. She's got plenty of resources to gather.
No, I want this to be on Scott's home turf, folks.
Absolutely. We want to give him a home turf advantage.
I want him to have all the opportunity in the world.
And then Daddy Jeep. Oh, good. Do you need any pianos? You know what, Rob? Sure. I'll take instruments.
Oh, no.
Oh, pianos.
I'm going to tow it with my one-ton pickup.
With this one-ton pickup.
I want to see all the pianos on the Gladiator.
Next thing we know,
the question
he's going to have a ramp.
Is this a full-size grand piano? Is this a little tiny keyboard? What are we talking?
I think next thing we know, Jeffrey's going to be building ramps. That's what you're going to see on his social updates. He's going to have ramps. This piano's going to load in and out of the back of the Gladiator.
This is going to be fun.
Oh, goodness. That is so much a thing. So much a thing.
So what about you?
You know, the
I heard he was towing.
I heard he was on a beach.
He's still on the beach. He's got his sandals on.
So
I think the socks and the sand would be a little bit
no socks and sand. No doubt. So in true Simpson fashion, you know, it's just if you look
at how many hours you have and you plan about 40 hours.
40 hours in a 24-hour day is exactly how it should be. I was at the new house build. I was at the old, you know, the old property in Pennsylvania as we continue to ready that. Obviously I was on the beach a couple times, I think. I don't know, you know, when you constant motion, right? So I call it perpetual motion. When you kind of exist in that moment, you know, the objective is to cram as much life into every hour as you possibly can. So I had a fantastic date night. I did two different high school football games. So we did Thursday, Friday, I actually worked extra hours here because we're so busy, and the value of meeting our customers' needs and supporting our team here. I did Friday night. Savage and I filmed after hours, brought the sun over. So I think we did after hours filming for our viewing audience a couple times this past week. We turned out a number of very good jobs that our employees, our team here is doing a fantastic job attempting to meet deadlines to take care of our customer base. So that put me here Friday night. Then from that, went off to another football game to the middle of the night. And then we went to a local eatery in Ashtabula, opened up, and we went to them late night. They did a late night hours to try and support kind of a new barbecue John. It was kind of a neat place called Sticky Fingers Barbecue. It was a cute community-based, you know, restaurant job. And and I think definitely had a fantastic evening. On Saturday, obviously, I had a full day, you know, of what we do, but that's neither here nor there. Interesting piece with passports, and I don't know if you guys know this or not, but passports now have, when you take your photo, there's facial recognition software that your picture is immediately subjected to.
And you know what's one part of the Real ID as well?
Well, I don't know.
I thought that was part of the whole
Real ID. I have Real ID. But here's my problem. I'm going to have to look at something. Here's the interesting thing, folks.
Making him pull his license out.
Pulling my license out on air. Those of you who at home can't hear me. Nope. So I can promise you that the story that I'm about to tell is not applicable.
Because it's a different picture.
No, this is... So what am I doing in that picture? That's a good looking picture. I'm not going to lie. I'm really happy with that government photo.
Grimacing.
I'm not grimacing. I'm a smile. God bless it.
I thought they tell you not to smile for those pictures.
I smile? Okay.
The old ladies learned how you not to smile.
Yeah.
So
your Real ID is not supposed to be a smile.
I'm smiling in my Real ID. Come get me, big brother. So
they will.
My wife, what does my wife do, Scott?
Now I got to look at mine now.
Oh, my wife went to go get a passport, and they told her not to smile.
I don't know where my license is. That's fine.
She doesn't even have a license.
Ow.
You don't even.
Oh.
Yes, officer.
Well, that's fun.
Well, good job. You don't even know where your license is.
I got to try to track your that down.
You might want to find. There's a cop somewhere listening. I'm pulling a blue.
Pulling gladiator. A blue one-ton gladiator over here shortly. So my wife is a smiler. If you folks, have you ever met her, you watch the episode she's on.
Voracious smiler.
Voracious smiler.
Yeah.
You know, she had to take her passport photo multiple times.
Yes,
because
I believe it.
The Big Brother government facial recognition kept flagging her for detecting a smile. I just couldn't break the smile of it. You actually can't have your hair too poofy. It'll detect if your hair is too poofy for this facial recognition software.
Yeah. Okay, we have a new listener status. Subtitles just aren't cutting it. I'm stuck in court. No, it isn't my case. I'm a probation officer. We literally have a probation officer in court listening to this show right now. I love it.
We're so glad you have joined us.
I'm a little nervous that you're in court and chiming in after I realize I don't have my driver's license.
you know what? And I'm not proud of this moment, and so I'm not going to share it too much, right? But I think that all, certainly if you're in the local area, you just have to be like, I work at SFJ 4x4.
Like,
I see the blue truck. I work at SFJ 4x4. And they're like, oh, you must be the Italian Stallion.
Right?
That's all you're going to have to do. Yes. That's all. You don't need a license.
It's fine.
All right. So remember that time we were going to be talking about towing? Actually, you're not going to be towing since you don't have a license.
Yeah. I'll still be towing. You know that. So a lot of people keep a pin on a map of all the states they've traveled.
Yes.
I've realized that at this point in my life, I need to not just pin the states that I travel to because that's easy. I'm pinning all the states I've been pulled over in at this point. And I can tell you that it's probably more states than Scott's been to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
See, unlike you two, I have goals of not getting pulled over.
Yes.
And not being like, hey, attack me, please. You guys are like, hey.
No, I am incredibly respectful to the office.
Oh, you are.
Absolutely.
You just seek to engage them a lot more.
I said specifically pulled over, not gotten ticket.
Well, and there's a valuable differentiation there. I do hear that, Jeffrey. And the problem that I have, and my wife has been calling me out
on this.
You're
just too friendly. You like to talk to people.
I like to talk to people. My wife goes, why are you staring them down? And I'm like, I'm not. I'm acknowledging their existence.
You just want to have a conversation.
Do you see this really cool toe setup I have? Let's talk about it. It's cool. Let's talk about how you understand law.
Well, and if you also get them going about what's in their vehicle, how their vehicle's set up, what weapons they carry, some of them will really have a good conversation.
I might end up having to tell a story about me towing, and I'll bridge this gap. Oh, actually, dear. I will.
Which time?
I will. And so this first episode, we're going to be talking about our own experiences towing. Now, understand, I mean, those of you who have watched the videos, I have the big appropriate truck and the big appropriate trailer.
Are we going way back when we learned about tires?
We're going back to tires, and we're going to bridge that.
I'm going to interrupt real quick because we actually have a listener who's been listening to us on Spotify, finally joined us on live. So welcome, Charles.
Hey, Charles. Thanks for jumping on, man. That's fantastic. We're so happy to have you.
See the weird in the flesh.
We're keeping it weird. So I think we're going to do, I'm going to have Savage print me a shirt, here for weird, right? Or something like that. We're here for weird.
Yeah.
All right. So, and I'm going to bridge this gap and talk briefly about this afternoon or this weekend's experience. The one thing that I didn't share with you guys was I was towing, had the big truck. Obviously, I'm trying to sell the big truck. I'm always towing.
Yes.
If you look at my Dodge Ram, my tow mirrors are always out.
Yeah, it's a Ram thing.
It's a Ram thing.
I don't understand.
That's okay. It's a mating call that we put our mirrors out. It's all right.
It's like, I see you have towing mirrors.
I have big towing mirrors.
I want to talk to you at a gas station.
So I was in the big truck, and I have the old car trailer, which certainly is in poor shape at the moment.
She's been in worse shape.
She has been in worse shape.
But we're trying to actually make it legit.
Trying to make it better, but I can't stop using it because I love towing so much.
Yes.
And we
and
had the one fender flare constantly. I'm in perpetual motion. So the one fender is off. Do you remember why we made those fenders?
Removable?
Well, we have them removable, because you and I, after Greg did a beautiful job on fixing the fenders.
Immediately crushed it.
We immediately crushed it by winching a Yukon, a Suburban, onto the fender.
Yes. Because we can't steer worth save our lives.
Or if you're Jeffrey, he just runs over your fender.
Yeah.
Well, the width of that Jeep, to be fair, would have run it over regardless.
We just lack tape measures when we go to buy car
all
trailers.
The tape measures are here on the service floor. Because again, friendly reminder, we're really professional with Jeeps.
Yes.
That's
where we go out, we look at a trailer, we're like, well, you know, that right there will work.
Wrists and elbows, that there's going to fit, folks.
You know it doesn't fit?
That
between
one
the
fit.
Fenders.
Between the fenders. So remember that
on
time,
the trailer?
Remember that time I was using my car hauler to carry plywood, and the plywood shifted?
Yes.
It shifted so much so that it shoved the corner of the plywood into the back of my new trailer tire.
Yes.
And it bore a hole into the sidewall, a trough, if you will. Okay?
You were machining.
I was machining the sidewall of the tire. And we all know that you should not machine the sidewall of tires. There was actually a pretty sizable...
Kind of the weak side.
Yeah. It's you know, there's not radial bands as much in that sidewall. And I should have repaired that. Mm-hmm. But I didn't.
Yes.
Okay? So
mark one of casualty on the trailer.
No doubt. So I haven't put that flare back on, or that fender back on.
To remind you the tire is bad.
To remind me that the tire is bad.
Yes.
And that I really should not use the trailer, but I did anyways.
Isn't there something else wrong on that side of the trailer, too?
He rebuilt the suspension, people. But you know what breaks all the time? Suspension on trailers. And he was so vehement, like, what do you mean it's broken? I was in there and I did that, and it should come right apart. And you know what the trailer said?
Nope. I did it before COVID, so unfortunately, in Jeep years, that was about, I don't know, three decades ago.
Yes.
And I did
do
the
suspension
rebuild.
Might have been parked at the ocean in between times.
Might have been. And the shackle hanger broke, and then I you know, the spring perches are not disassembling nicely. I had brass or bronze bushings in there, the whole nine yards.
When you're done with your story, we do have another upcoming story because
no
Amy
doubt.
Just chimed in, and I'm curious.
I will. I'm here for it.
All right?
So here's the thing. I was towing the trailer this weekend. I'm still moving stuff out of that Western Pennsylvania property. Beautiful property. Someone needs to buy it. Again, our customer turned a great friend of the business. Jason is there helping me. Thanks to him, per usual. And he moves some parts around on the trailer. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, I didn't like how that was. And I was like, all right, cool, whatever, man. You know, like, yep. So he moved. It was a metal bed frame. You know how those like old school metal bed frames?
Those are really good machinist tools.
Those are great machinist tools. I kid you not. He moved one, but left the other on the trailer still, mm-hmm. right? So he wasn't wrong.
Yeah.
They needed moved.
Yes, but dose needed moved.
But dose needed moved.
Not singular.
And Uno actually got relocated. Mm-hmm. So as I'm trucking back northbound, about 10 miles south of town.
At least you got out of town.
I got out of Meadville. I'm headed north. I got most of the drive. I'm three quarters of the way, three quarters of the way back to the shop.
That's why we have four trailer tires.
And I am hammered down. And I was.
And the fender wasn't in the way, so you were able to see the poof.
No, wait a second.
I don't know.
So I was hammered down to the point where I was a 50 mile per hour area, and I'm in the big truck, and I got the trailer loaded down. I've got washer dryer on it, strap, blah, blah, blah. All of a sudden, our great roads department individuals had cut a trough through across the road entirely to install culvert.
Yep.
And all they did was backfill it with
gravel.
Well, yep. They're coming back.
They're coming back.
That was lunchtime.
Well, it was Sunday with no road signs whatsoever to tell me
stolen,
that the road had changed, you know, pitch or level or
someone
anything
stole
like
their
that.
Steel plates that they threw over it.
Something. And I hammer this gravel, you know.
Shock load the tire.
Shock load everything, okay? I promise you, I watched. Everything was strapped. I mean, it was the best strap job of my life.
Everything's still
because
there.
Because Jason was with me.
Yes.
Otherwise, I would have had far less straps on it.
Yes.
Stuff would have been flying.
Just to prove a point, I did intentionally take my dolly, you know, appliance dolly, and precariously hang it out of a burn barrel.
Hmm.
For funsies, because I was like,
sounds like something
but I hung it in such a way that it was like a wing off the back of my trailer
for
aerodynamic purposes.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Makes sense.
No matter.
Totally.
It all stayed. But it was like one of those things where you watch it in slow motion where everything came up. It looked like it got loosey goosey. And then like the straps grabbed it right back down.
Yes.
Okay.
I saw a cartoon like this one.
I think that was all the boards on the trailer just coming loose.
Probably.
And then back
resettling. That's
because
probably what's
happening. How those screws rust off.
So here's the thing. And this is the piece that makes us so specific in what we do with Jeeps. I immediately hear a note change in my towing.
Mm. Yep.
Okay. I immediately hear a note change.
That is not right.
That is
and
not
that
right.
And that is over a big international standard shift.
Now
it's dieseling away up in front of you.
100%. And now I'm driving and I'm going, something's not right. Now, I did think I should pull over.
But then Neil was like, you know,
it hasn't
burst into flame yet.
But then I embodied my grandfather's and I was like, use a bigger hammer and I'm just going to keep on driving. I got into town. I promise you not. Parked the truck. Everything's copacetic. I go back around. Same tire that the board had machined a trough, an inch wide trough. Now, an inch above that.
Has another trough.
Has another trough.
Well, at least it's the same tire.
Where that bed frame had shifted and totally scraped away a solid inch and a half of sidewall.
Think about how sad you would have been if it would have been a different tire, though.
I would have been
Devastated.
I would have been devastated.
Yes.
But I looked at that tire, and I promise you, I poke at it, and it was like poking like a regular latex balloon. I'm telling you, you're poking it. It's that soft at this point on that entire inside sidewall. I called Jason immediately, and he was like, whatever manufacturer that tire is, buy like 18 of them. The thing won't die.
Yes.
That's a Carlisle trailer tire. Nice.
Trying desperately
to do its job. So it did not burst. But that was going to be a segue into the time that I had a tire burst on the windshield.
It was not a Carlisle trailer tire.
Burst on the windshield of one of our fine first responders and State Highway Patrol policemen.
And just in case you wondered, they do not take that kindly.
They do not take that kindly.
No.
But
and then they want to find out all the other things you're doing wrong.
In towing.
And yeah. You might have to park it and come back later.
I'll circle back and give you the abbreviated version. But yeah. What were you going to share with us? Somebody is...
So Amy chimed in and said, Scott, what were we towing when the truck ran over our trailer at the gas station?
So I don't remember what we were towing. And it's just so funny because Neil will appreciate this. Old Scott would have had like the cops would have been called, pictures would have happened, everything else. I vaguely remember the trailer got like jostled, like... You know, just bumped into.
Yeah.
And I just looked in my mirror and went, stupid person that just ruined their vehicle. And the trailer's like, meh.
Somebody hit. Was it this trailer? The car trailer?
Yeah.
I love this trailer.
Not your trailer, my trailer currently.
Right.
But still.
Oh, your current trailer.
My current trailer.
Oh, but your current trailer.
But still.
His current trailer's a tank.
It's a big, huge metal box. What are you going to hurt it?
Yeah.
Your fender is going to have a bad time.
Yes. When did this happen?
A couple years ago, I think, or
get
maybe a year
here.
Ago.
I was
up at the gas station 193, and you know people just have no spatial awareness. That's why those poor poles in the middle of all the islands are always ran over.
They're always got rub marks on them.
Yeah, it's
always.
Like, how did you... It's bright yellow.
I don't know.
It's eye level. How did you miss that?
Yep. They just always hammered into them.
But I have no idea what I was towing because, sadly, we do that so regularly.
Yeah.
That doesn't stick out to me.
Well, and I'll go back to saying what I do know I was towing. So I was early on in the business. We had scrapped a Cherokee XJ.
Mm-hmm.
And
no.
We used to, yeah, early on in the business when I was, you know, kind of reasonably just onesie twosie, you know, you would help on the weekends and whatnot. Yep. And cousin was in
Amazing
helping.
How rusty XJs just were everywhere.
XJs were a beautiful thing. They were plentiful. They were cheap. They were disposable at that point, you
yes.
know. Not by today's standards. So anyway, so I have this Jeep and we're loading it down with scrap and I had it on a trailer. A car hauler I had bought at that time.
It's amazing how scrap you just keep putting it on and it's fine.
Yeah.
Oh, it's that vehicle holds so much scrap.
Yeah, and you just pack it into this into the yeah. body of the Cherokee.
And the weight doesn't even matter at that point.
It doesn't matter.
No.
No,
you
no,
have
no,
a
on
one ton trailer at that point.
We have a multi-ton trailer, yes. you know. So I have this trailer loaded down with scrap, and it was a home built car hauler.
As it should be.
No doubt. And
and was this when you were towing with the van?
No. Well, so it's important to note, folks, that when I was, and I'm going to contextualize towing a little bit, that when I was in college, when most other people were, you know, scrounging together change from their center console to do, you know, a B-E-E-R-U-N, or go to Cancun, Mexico on their spring break.
You were buying Jeep parts.
I was buying Jeep parts, and I bought my first car hauler. It was literally... I believe my junior year of college, when everybody else was like home or they were traveling on spring break doing, you know, shenanigans, I came home, looked in like the area trader classifieds and found
all
the good quality trailers are.
Yes.
Absolutely.
There was some old guy going, I need to get rid of this pile of junk before it breaks on me. And
were
Neil
you
shows
there?
Up.
Did you go with me to pick it up?
And Neil shows up with money and goes, that there will work.
Absolutely. I'm a fresh faced, enterprising, you know, 19-20-year-old, and I'm like, their trailer looks good to me.
I'm going to take a moment to recognize the fact that Scott has been doing accents lately, and I'm here for it.
His
love it.
His accents are on point.
They are so much better than yours. No offense.
What?
Ow.
Oh, all of mine.
Yours are pure entertaining.
So,
but he can speak, so it makes up for
that's
it.
That's all right. So I buy this. That's the trailer that I'm hauling. I had that same car hauler for a decade plus.
All the life out of it.
And it ran standard 15-inch wheels. It actually had a Jeep bolt pattern on the...
Which was a selling point when you bought it.
And we were running Jeep-sized tires. So I had a...
And you keep buying vehicles with tires on them.
No doubt. Put them on the trailer. This was before
we knew about date codes on tires and stuff. And all
so many learning curves when it comes to towing and doing better than what we did, folks.
Maintenance?
Right?
What's that?
So I leave. So there's no fenders on this trailer.
Who needs fenders?
And I was operating in Pennsylvania at the time. But much of my
grew up in Ohio.
I grew up in Ohio, which might as well be the Wild West of Texas.
It's such a big drastic difference between two states towing.
And the issue is also northeastern Ohio. Folks, if you've ever familiarized yourself with SFJ 4x4 and our physical location, we are in the sharpest corner in the state of Ohio, the most northeastern portion of it.
You go any further north, you're in water.
You're in Lake Erie. You go east and you're into Pennsylvania, and you're hop, skip, and jump from Western New York. The reality of the situation is our governing body of Ohio doesn't even know that we exist in Conneaut, Ohio.
That's kind of true.
We're, you know, by the time that you get, you know, state highway patrol, they basically patrol one singular road in and out of Conneaut, which is Route 7. So as long as you avoid that,
you're good.
And as far as our local law enforcement, they are phenomenal individuals, very busy dealing with domestic disputes and the fact that people are arguing over custody.
I also feel like we have to put in perspective what constitutes a trailer in Conneaut, Ohio. You have to have something that lets it roll.
Yep.
And some sort of flat surface to precariously put crap on.
But that's a trailer.
And you hook it to something else, and that is a trailer.
That's
lights
a trailer.
Are questionable.
Sure. You don't need those.
License plates are questionable.
So here I am running.
He just
hooked
this model where I'm just going over to the friend's house.
Yes.
And made it a multi-state
problem.
Yes.
Because what I do is I leave my house in Western Pennsylvania and I choose to take Route 322, which is a pretty sizable
that right there, I already made the hair stand up on the back of my neck. That is, you were ingrained as a young person, and you stay off that main highway when you're doing,
you stay off that road,
stupid things.
So I decide, because I am obviously
you're fine,
the blind optimism that
you have
that,
a car trailer that you are legit.
I'm legit.
Yes.
And I have a one ton truck, a legitimate. I'm running
my Ram.
Up
your game. That plywood trailer is not around anymore.
No, and I'm not towing with the van, and I towed that trailer with a Jeep XJ.
We tried to make the lights work on the truck
a couple times, right? This is totally
put
legit
in.
So here we are. I'm ready. I'm legit as far as I'm concerned.
Yes.
And I don't have a license on this trailer. I don't have the ramps.
Dog ate it.
The dog ate the license plate. It's on the ramps that I left at home, officer. You know what I mean?
My father used that excuse once.
Yeah, I'm regurgitating these in my
brain.
That's
true, too, because Browns don't lie.
Well, that's true. They don't. So I'm thinking, oh, what's my story going to be if I actually, you know, do get pulled over? You know what? It's fine. I'm just going to the scrapyard.
Isn't that premeditated at that point?
Premeditated. All right. So I pull up at a stoplight, and State Highway Patrol pulls in behind me. And I'm like, it's okay. Everything's okay.
Because I'm legit.
I'm feeling really good. I'm feeling overly good. This was a humbling moment.
Confidence,
this was where God
was
said,
high.
Yeah, my confidence was entirely too high. This is where God was like, boy, I'm going to humble you, and you're going to learn a lesson today, right?
Yes.
So I start.
Mild lesson.
It was totally mild by
so
what it could
worse.
Have been. But what ends up happening is I start to drive away from this stoplight. I promise you, I don't make it. I don't make it 50 yards, and I've got my tow mirrors out, of course. So
yes,
I have good
advantage.
I have good vantage point.
You can see
and I
the
watch
lights.
The State Highway Patrol, the wipers turn on to the State Highway Patrol like full blast, and I'm like, well, that's strange because it's
sweeping rubber off. That's
not raining. And then I kind of feel, I feel nothing because the trailer is, behind this one ton.
Yes. Truck doesn't care.
Maybe a little bit of squirrely, a little bit of a squirreliness out of the trailer. And next thing I know, the officer's lights are on and he's coming in hot. And I'm like, OMG, the tire blew out on the trailer on the state highway patrol officer.
Yes.
I mean, just all over the front of his vehicle, right?
Anytime and, something like this happens, my phone rings.
I got to be
a firsthand account of this.
Oh, yeah,
kind of
totally.
Stuff. You're never going to believe what just happened.
Your phone must ring a lot.
I'm not. Like,
let me guess. You talked to an officer. You were towing, weren't you?
So, needless to say, he had a bad day all of a sudden. It became a very bad day. And so he was going to make sure that I had a very bad day.
Yes. Mild bad day.
It was mild.
It was bad for early Neil.
It was bad for early Neil. Here's the thing is that
we're older and wiser. We know we could have been much worse.
It could have been so much worse. And that's where the humor in this comes. And that's where I really do want to encourage people to do better than where our come up. You know, enter the storyline, half or three quarters of our come up. Learn from our shenanigans and mistakes.
Yep.
That officer, the real kicker, they ended up having to bring in the stolen vehicles detective.
Yeah, because you got a vehicle on there.
I've got a vehicle
obviously
that's chopped. Yeah,
chopped.
I've got a trailer that has no title, registration, or licensure on it.
Which is
I've
supposed to have in PA.
Out-of-state plates, out-of-state license at that. I might have had an in-state license with out-of-state plates to make
grandma.
It even better. And because I'm really like... Because this was early on in the business days.
He wants to be
I'm
your
like,
friend.
Well, wait a sec. Best yet, I'm like, well, I'm a business, and scrapping, you know?
My dad's
and
me
that made
quiet.
It so much worse.
It made it so much worse. And here's the thing, and I really tried to be very appropriate with the officer and take my lumps, and I do believe that's why it was not as much as it could or should have been. And so thank
you.
That's
why you didn't leave the scene
day.
In cuffs.
Which why I didn't leave the scene in cuffs.
And they didn't tow his
and
stuff.
And they didn't impound my stuff because they told me that I could take it to the next kind of pull off in a parking lot and park the trailer and that I would have to call a tow company or something else, but they better not see the trailer, again on the roadway. And so that is where I think that my compliance with recognizing where I had done wrong and acknowledging the officer's authority in that moment and did what they asked me to do. And so, but the best part of the conversation is after he had written me several $100 worth of tickets, I watch him walk in my rearview mirror thinking that we were done with our interaction. And he gets, three quarters of the way down the trailer and he stops and he looks under the trailer.
It's a bad sign.
And he looks there for a couple seconds, and I'm watching in my rear view mirror, and he must have still been stewing on something. I must have just frustrated him enough. And he reaches onto the trailer underneath the depths of this scrap Jeep that was sitting on its axles because I'd already taken all the rubber and all that kind of stuff off. He reaches under, and he grabs a piece of flat stock steel that was probably about 12 inches long, flat steel that was just sitting on the trailer under the Jeep. And he picks it up. I watch him. I mean, vividly, I remember him stand up straight, holds it out to his hand, about 3 feet off the trailer, and just drops it like this, turns right around, and gives me another couple $100 for unsecured load. it was just the most classic. I can't make this stuff up. I was a big bonehead. And I want people to do better than me in that regard. We've had plenty of very good and positive towing experiences, but,
yep.
Because I'm always towing, I don't want to steal the limelight. Jeffrey, you operate a 3/4 1-ton tow truck.
So I'm not even going to use that for my towing story.
Okay.
I'm going to go back and I'm going to set the stage for a minute. I was dating a girl who was going to Gannon University for college to be a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
After 2 years there, she had decided she wanted to transfer down to Aiken, South Carolina. So
what's in Aiken?
It's a big university there just outside of Charleston.
Aiken is the name of it?
I don't remember the name of the university,
okay.
But it was Aiken. It's just
Aiken
a little.
Aiken is the area.
Aiken is the city. Yep.
Okay.
So she decided she wanted to try that school out. I have a 2004 Grand Cherokee.
Perfect tow vehicle.
Laredo.
It was a Laredo.
They're all Laredos.
The V8 all-time four-wheel, all of that,
It's a monster. It's a tow pig.
I had U-Haul put a hitch on it.
The worst. if you're listening right now and you remotely think about having U-Haul putting a hitch on, please
stop. So
it's put
on with Tex Cruz and Scotch Locks.
Now.
I rented a U-Haul trailer to put her Pontiac Sunfire onto.
How did they allow you out of the parking lot with this?
I towed it all the way down to Aiken.
On an all-wheel drive V8 Grand Cherokee.
Oh, yeah. All the gas mileage was great.
Oh, my.
So
it got all of 4.6 miles per gallon.
Yes.
So,
and the dash lights flickered the whole time.
Yeah, it was great. You know, the windows decided to operate sometimes. You know, the wiring issues. I had to rewire it at some point along the way.
Sure,
whatever.
Sure.
Everything was good on the trip down. I drove back home, and not even a week later, she's calling saying, I'm done. I want to come back.
No.
So I drive back down, get another U-Haul trailer,
oh, no.
Load up the Pontiac Sunfire. We're driving back up from
I'm sorry.
To Erie,
she just doesn't want to drive the Sunfire. Is the Sunfire not able to drive on the highways? Like, it's a car.
It's a Sunfire, and it's from Northeastern United States.
She didn't want to do the trip, period, by herself. It was one of those things.
Jeffrey,
So anyways.
Okay.
Her mom paid for the gas, I don't, whatever. So we were driving back, and
sold the Sunfire and made money on it.
In the middle of nowhere, West Virginia.
Less.
Probably. She loved that stupid car. So anyways, we're in middle of West Virginia, nowhere West Virginia.
God's country.
On some back road highway thing. Not the main interstate.
No, I know exactly what you're talking about.
You don't tow on main stuff. It's
correct.
For your Neil.
Right. So we're
work. This is like when I stare at the officer. I see you looking at me. I'm looking back at you.
I'm giving you crazy eyes.
We're cruising along probably about 80 to 90 miles an hour. And all of a sudden, I hear a loud bang sound and the trailer starts fishtailing a little on me.
Oh,
I'm like, oh, something's not right with the trailer. I think I blew a tire on it. We pull off on some no-name exit into dark, wooded area. This is the middle of the night.
This is where you go get killed.
Neil
finds friends.
I find
killed.
Friends.
We're talking half mile off the exit. There's a gas station with a pump.
Oh, God. That gas station has the best restrooms and the best coffee and the best egg salad sandwiches. I'm here for it. I know that gas station all across America.
The bathrooms were outhouses.
Oh, yes.
With a key.
Yes.
Yeah. So it gets sets
I love
stage.
It. I love you know, it. I know exactly what gas station
weeds
it is,
that are
right?
as tall as me
yes.
in the parking lot.
Yes.
So,
but is there a guy sitting like on the stoop? You know what I mean?
Chewing
some capacity.
On a piece of grass.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, 100%.
I need him. I don't care if it is inner city Pittsburgh or Charleston.
That guy knows
or
how
wherever.
To fix some stuff.
That guy knows how to fix some stuff.
No. It gets better. I get out with a flashlight trying to look at the tires of the trailer going, all these tires seem fine. What the hell is going on?
Right.
I walked across from the front of the vehicle to the back on driver's side. I'm like, why was I swaying so bad? What is going on? So now I'm looking under the trailer, seeing if something got wedged in there. And this guy with the grass chewing on it and the grandma's rocking chair that's falling apart as he's sitting
right,
just
right,
rocking,
right, right.
smoking a, cigar or something.
Right.
Yells over, hey, you got a flat. Where?
Okay.
Passenger rear tire of the Jeep was flat.
Oh.
So then.
The Dub J's have full size spares. You're fine.
Yeah. Young and dumb. I pull out the scissor jack.
Oh, no.
While it's on the trailer.
Oh, no.
Nice.
I lift up the Jeep.
Yes.
And the Jeep starts to move.
I start to get the tire loose and I see the Jeep start to move. So I jump out of the way. We were parked on slight incline.
Jeep starts to roll away. You've unloaded the wheel. So it has no traction at this point.
It twisted the scissor jack in half. I had no longer had a jack.
Yes.
The guy's just sitting there, well, you could call so-and-so with his tow truck. He'll come help you out. So we do.
Uh-huh.
Wait, a couple hours. My girlfriend at the time is now freaking out, full panic mode. I mean, she's a city girl. She's never been out in the country.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
This is
not
a good
experience.
Where all
the horror stories start.
Yeah, this is where all the horror stories started.
So, anyways, we get it fixed up, get back on the road. Everything was fine after that. But just that whole experience.
The whole nature of it. Absolutely.
And this is why we teach our customers about date codes on tires.
That is why we teach them about date codes. It's why we talk about the fact that if you jack up this corner, it's going to unload it and the traction will be lost in the process.
So, and in that situation, it actually wasn't the date code of the tire. I did not know about date codes on tires at that time, but it was literally I had ran something over and it ripped a hole in the sidewalk.
Sure.
But regardless, I was young and dumb. I'm a little older now, probably still just as dumb, but a little more experience.
Yes.
Yes. I get it. Mm. I get it. I want to, Scott, is there, I mean, you're pretty, I mean, the thing is when people look in at Scott, you know.
The sad part is my dad was towing since I was an infant. So like things that are a big deal to others are kind of like whatever. I think the best story that kind of match your guys is my dad had a little, used to be a pop-up camper. And he had, you know, camper, like all those, his canvas had died and all that kind of stuff. And he got rid of all that down to a bare frame. And it had the real little squatty fat tires on it. You know, we all know the MO of those tires. And at the time, he had some hookup on these awesome, must have been for like a pool or something like that, that deck. It was metal, aluminum, had a slightly textured finish, so it was grippy. And he made the entire box out of that. Mm-hmm. And it had this little short midget tailgate. My dad was always famous for the tailgate doesn't need to be solid because that's where all your air stops. So if you want to get a better mile a gallon, you make that open, you make it mesh. And that's where you put the license plate. On this trailer, that was removable. And it had lights. It was legit. It had a valid registration. And we had to haul a 56 Chevy.
Oh, God.
From our house to my brother's house, which was not that far. And
that's
the car
from my house to the scrapyard. I understand.
Car happened to just fit on this single axle little trailer.
No, a 57 Chevy?
56 Chevy.
56 Chevy.
Well, the tires fit. The front bumper was over the tongue and the back of the car from the back tires on hang off the back, which meant that we couldn't put our little gate back on with the license plate. So my dad's like, I can fix this. The taillights aren't in the car. I will strap this mesh into the taillight holes of the car. So before I still have my license plate, I'm still legal. Oh, we tie the car down and we're off to the races.
No, you're not. It's a camper frame.
It was fine. So we get up. We're using, you know, we had a K10 85 Chevy regular cab long box towing it. So we had plenty of truck.
Yeah.
We go down our road. We turn on to the next thoroughfare, and I swear it was a Jeep Cherokee state highway, but I'm not 100% sure because I was a small kid at the time.
Right.
Pulls in behind us, and my dad immediately starts. And he did not have a great love affection for any law enforcement from previous stories that maybe someday we'll get into.
Sure.
But any which way, the lights come on. The growling continues. The guy walks up to the door. My dad's ready for a fight.
Yeah, he's not just...
He's thrown down already.
Yeah, he's thrown down
already. Haven't even said hi. Officer says, see, you're towing. Dad grumbles, yes. Where's the license plate for the trailer? My dad looks at him. I thought he was going to kill him.
Oh, God.
On the back of the car, guy looks at him, walks to the back of the trailer, looks at it, walks back up, says, oh, my mistake. Should have been the end of the story,
it
right
should
there.
Should have been good.
My dad was
game
so
over, drive away. Yeah, everything's
that
good.
That was fantastic.
My dad was
Everybody
so PO'd because now he was not on his procedured course.
Oh no!
He had pulled over off the main thoroughfare to try to not block traffic, even though no tickets were exchanged. The guy was
issued. The guy said, "Hey, my bad.
My bad." It was best case scenario because we're not technically
you're on a
proper
single wheel or single wheel axle or single axle trailer, camper trailer with the little squatty tires.
Yes, with the little squatty tires. And so we had to do this big, huge production of moving it around. And that is like ingrained in my brain of how irritated my father was with that. And, you know, really, on a whole scheme of things, nothing bad happened. We got to our destination. We unloaded the car. We and you had to drive over the wheel wells to get the car on.
Perfect.
That's important because you know that's where the little tires are, is basically underneath the car.
Yes, yes. And I'm sure Fred, God rest him, was just as sour as could be throughout the whole experience.
It ruined the day. It was over.
Oh,
but,
dear.
But fun little sidebar. I still have the last trailer my dad made. Neil has borrowed it. It also has a mesh
every
tailgate.
Time. I borrowed it. You set me up for failure, and I had to replace wheels and tires and hubs, I don't know, 11 times.
And in my defense, I was very innocent.
I'm just going to say, it seems like a common denominator who's operating it.
I understand. The funny thing, we
got to put it in context, though. That tailgate cannot come off. It is part of a ramp. But where is the license plate?
On the tailgate. Yep. And that is why I put all my license plates on the fenders at this point.
You're removable
fenders?
I know
you're not supposed to. Well, you know, that was part of my story. Yes, officer. You know what? I'm over the idea that license plates needed to be horizontal. I'm over that stuff.
Yes.
It just needs to be visible. It needs to be on the fender. It goes vertical. I have not had any problem with officers in that regard.
No.
As long as it's there.
They're looking for early kneels at this point.
They are, right?
Got his stuff together. Leave him alone.
Right. I'm not trying to cause any problems at this point. I want to do the best we can with what we've got. I could continue to regale you folks to put you to sleep.
We're going to jump to the comments for a minute.
Oh,
dear. A while back in the comments now, Charles said, seems like trailers that sit also break a lot.
Oh, 100%.
Nothing to do with them, I'm sure.
Chuck chimed in from Transamerica Trail.
Hey, Chuck. Glad you're here.
Charles also said, hauling hay in Texas, drive through a small town and hit a pothole that not only busted my axle, it shifted and was at a crazy angle.
Amazing how heavy hay can get.
Oh, hay is outstanding.
Yes. And then Darla said, knowing where our trailer is, should we be concerned?
Yes. tell Dawn I've been admiring your trailer, Darla.
Don't worry. We will not let Neil use your trailer.
Yes.
You know what? And I can't begin to tell you guys. I mean, since I was young, and I still remember one of my very first experiences, my dad bought a 54 Chevy, or excuse me, Ford pickup truck box trailer, which was a thing, right, back in the day. And I still remember when we got the 48 Willys, that is the kind of the flagship logo Jeep of the business, which I drove for many years. It's that kind of infamous one that I daily drove for a year or two, a couple summers. I remember we used that as our pickup truck. We hauled that Ford bed around with that little 134 flathead. And that was one of my earliest experiences towing. You know, so as a teenager, I'm doing that because we didn't have pickup trucks.
If you're not from Ohio, that is an instant pickup truck. Oh, the motor blew up in the truck? No problem. We're going to cut the frame off underneath the cab. We're going to bend them into a V. We're going to put a receiver on it. There's already light on the bed.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a win-win.
It's a win-win.
I remember going on a long trip. Some of my family's from Western Northern Ohio, and they don't get the snow and salt we do.
Yeah.
I think they just stay home because it's all flat and you can't go anywhere. But anyway, here we just shove it in the Gulf because we have low sots. We put all the snow into. But anyway, they had a Ranger that had expired, and I'm looking at this truck, and it's got cab corners and rockers, and the doors look nice, and the paint's decent. And he's like, "Yeah, we're getting ready to cut in half here pretty soon." I'm like, "What?
Why?
Right. Why? Like, all those trucks like that in our area have been in the crusher a long time ago, and we're onto the roundy ones that are all rusted to pieces
now." Sure, sure.
Like, you need, instead of cutting that in half, need to haul that to our area and sell it $2,000.
But they were ready to make it into a trailer.
Yes.
I think that there was a time years ago where, you know, based on importation and cost of steel, globally, we didn't have trailers like we now do. People who are just entering the scene with their Wranglers and using trailers, or if you're just kind of becoming aware of it.
Back before every trailer store had a fleet of trailers.
And that's exactly what I'm saying, is that Home Depot has trailers, Tractor Supply, Farm and Home, Menards, Lowe's. Every place you show up, there's a little tchotchke trailer out there for sale.
You can buy them from Walmart now.
You can, and you can buy them online, and they can ship them to your house, and the whole food match. We didn't used to have that. We used to have these home-built trailers, some better than others, you know?
Results may vary.
Yeah, and we used to have some named known trailer manufacturers, and those individuals, those manufacturers, took pride. The Featherlights, the Fruhoffs, the Coachmans, and the Hallmarks.
I'm going to stop you for a second because you say Coachman and taking pride in the same sentence.
Well, that was 40 years ago.
Okay. Because yeah, Scott and 40. I ripped apart the 94 one, and I can tell you that there was some shady things going on with that frame that we were a little surprised
to
find.
If you go back to the 40s and the 60s, these trailer manufacturers, they took pride in what they were doing.
Yep.
And as we unpack in the next couple series, folks, we're going to be telling you about the good, the bad, and the ugly, because steel has gotten lighter and cheaper and they've different realized quality. Where they can, different quality, where they can take some shortcuts in producing that adventure trailer for you or the trailer that you're choosing to hook up or use.
And that even goes as far as, what you attach it to your vehicle with. I remember very vividly that my dad's always, far back as I remember, was a welder. I was able to fabricate. So on a regular, people would show up and be like, hey, I'd like to put a hitch on my enter here truck or car. Can you make me one?
Yes.
And that's what you did.
And that is what you did.
Or you had a bumper and you reinforced the bumper to properly tow. Where now we just open up a catalog, go, I need this hitch with this weight capacity, and it's that. And look, it bolts on.
Yes, and we have a very a part exchanging process at this time.
Yeah,
And it's interesting how towing has changed, and it's become a massive talking point, especially under COVID, where a lot of people, even some of you as our listeners, might have got a Jeep and you bought a trailer, and you were like, hey, I'm ready to hook up to a camper. I'm ready to hook up to a little trailer to tow my ATV or something to that effect.
Yep.
And that's what we're going to help kind of talk about, the good, the bad, and the ugly of what our experiences have been to what the market and industry is now. I have,
it's never been so easy to tow or tow with something.
It has not. We are legitimately at a kind of a unique period of time where if your Jeep didn't come equipped with a hitch, I mean, first of all, the majority are coming equipped with hitches. That's different than even what it was before.
Well, not only that, but how easy it is to rent the equipment. You could go to U-Haul, for example,
anywhere.
Rent a 26-foot box truck and put a trailer on the back of it.
And you don't have to have any tow experience ever a day in your life.
Nope. All you got to do is have a valid driver's license.
No doubt.
Which right? Jeff can't do right now, but...
Wow. I have a valid driver's license. I just don't know where it is.
I don't know, Jeff. Do you? Could you prove to our listening audience that you have a valid driver's license?
Not at the moment, apparently.
All right, officer. So, yes, I will volunteer to get in the back of your car now.
Yes.
So,
I just feel for him because right now at my house, I have two children, and the TV remote has gone missing for weeks, probably a month now. You have three children, so your license is gone.
It's gone. It's in the trash. It's been compacted.
You've
in the local
thrown it away
already.
Unknowingly. I guarantee you.
I hope not.
I was on my second remote. The first one disappeared and has never been seen from again. So the replacement is gone missing.
You're
at this
too
point.
Kind. I become too nasty in that process. what I was going to say, folks, I mean, without being too braggadocious, but to continue to kind of contextualize, I have towed from tip to tail the Alaskan Highway. I have taken the longest vehicle combination has been 72 feet long. That's a 40-foot pusher and a 30-foot enclosed trailer articulated in the center. If you've seen our current rig on any of the YouTube videos, we upgraded to the International 4900 with that 50-foot goose wedge down to a four-cylinder automatic Wrangler towing a garden trailer.
Yep.
So we're going to bring, kind of this is a series that I'm passionate about that I hope you guys will enjoy some of the stories, some of the technical information we'll produce in the next couple breakdowns for you. I abide by the early, it's okay to tow your Jeep. It's interesting, if you have entered the market recently, it was one of those pride things years ago that it wasn't cool to tow your Jeep to an event. Mm-hmm. I get the cool factor of driving your Jeep. I do. But I never subscribe to the, you're uncool if you tow it. Mm-hmm. I have always liked the confidence that if something should go south, I can just pull onto a trailer at the end of my wheeling experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll be talking about a little bit of that in the next couple episodes as well. I hope everybody enjoyed these conversations, these stories. We want to hear from you. We'll tell you how you can share with us shortly after our hashtag not sponsored product spotlight. We want you to get involved. We want to hear some of your tow stories. If you have them, I love hearing about the hay and the broken axle. I can picture that in my head where,
yep.
you know, the spring shackles shift, the axle shifted, and now you got one going 45 degrees to the other axle, and you're scrubbing down the road. Crazy stuff, I'm sure. We want to hear those stories and maybe be able to share those with our listeners and viewers in the next couple episodes. But I think before then, we have a product for not sponsored. Yes?
Yes.
Yeah.
Si, senores?
All right, let me transition.
And now it's time for our product spotlight.
Hashtag not sponsored.
Spotlight.
Hashtag not sponsored.
So our product today is a product that is personally on my vehicle. That's how we make it a half-ton JK. And it replaces your brakes all the way around to a much larger rotor. I was trying to have specs in front of me, but my computer crashed right before we got on. So I'm just going to go by memory. So Scott, facts may vary.
Ah, perfect.
Well,
and I love this because, quite frankly, this is actually something that I talk about on our last two YouTube videos. So if you mm-hmm. haven't seen those, folks, you're yep. going to want to check those out. We have actually installed quite a few big brake kits just yes. recently.
Yes. We so, have. There's been a revolving people listening and improving their brakes. But in any regard, so you take off a very decent size front rotor. Any TJ
better,
would
yeah,
have loved
TJ
to have.
TJ XJ would have loved to have the braking.
Had the factory JK brakes.
No doubt.
And a single piston caliper. That means that you just have one application spot and you put on at least, I'd say, an inch and a half. Bigger overall diameter
yes.
Rotor and a twin piston caliper, which means we have two pushing forces
massive,
now.
A completely massive caliper.
The caliper is way larger than my hand. It's almost ridiculous how yes. big it is. And it might be rumor. I made it up in my head. I don't know. But
I
think it is equivalent or comparable to a 1500 Ram front brakes.
I agree that I equally heard that rumor.
Yep.
We don't have that.
So therefore, it's fact. We've heard his price.
Oh,
now.
There we go. We're done. You heard us say it. So
yeah, it's now on the
yeah,
internet.
Yeah, but you heard him say it, so that's the rumor that you heard. So.
And then on the rear, we get a larger rotor. We obtain the same pads and same caliper, and then it just gives us a new bracket, which moves that out, so we have more swept area, because you always want more braking in the front than in the rear. Is I can have a fun story for that someday too, why you don't want to do equal all the way around. But anyway,
yep,
been there, done that.
Well, and it's valuable. The rear brakes is when that bracket moves it out towards the edge
yes.
Of that rotor. So we give them that oversized rotor in general, again, inch and a half, 2 inches larger rotor.
Yep.
And we move that bracket out. This is the concept of application of leverage.
Yes.
Which we'll be talking about in American Hustle next week.
Yep.
And this is the literal physical mechanical application of leverage. We're actually holding a longer lever further out when
yes.
applying the brake. So despite the fact that the caliper and the pads don't change
yes.
Where we're gripping and how we're gripping.
It's just we gave you a long handle ratchet versus a short handle ratchet.
Yep.
And in my experience, it gives you a much better pedal feel, much more confidence inspiring brake feel.
Mm-hmm.
You have a lot more brake available to you before you have any sort of fade. So for my improper towing, I love this mod.
Mm-hmm.
It gives me such a better confidence feel. And, you know, in comparative, my other towing option is, what is it, 50 years old at this point?
Right.
Makes me sad.
Your
but anyway,
pick 'em up truck.
My 68 Chevy half-ton pickup truck, my JK is way more confidence inspiring to tow with.
Than an actual camper special
than a actual
pickup
camper
truck.
Option for towing
yes.
pickup truck from the 60s, late 60s.
It always goes back to our customers coming in going, I think I'd like to get an older Jeep to wheel.
Yes.
No, right now what you have is way better than what did yes. exist.
And trucks are no different. You know, his 2003 Ram is way superior, even that being a regular single wheel,
yes.
than my 60s truck. And today's trucks are way superior, sadly, to the Ram we currently have.
Now, exactly. I want to bring up specifically when we talk about big brakes,
yep.
which Jeeps are they applicable to?
So this specifically what we're talking about is the RT big brake kit, and it is going to be from 2007 to 2018 JKs.
Yep, the JK Wrangler platform, JK JKU, obviously in all applicable models and trim levels.
With
thereof.
That said, there is other things available. Just obviously not the specific kit for older Jeeps. You know, if you have a TJ, YJ platform, XJ, we've been there, done that on those as well.
Yep.
My previously owned XJ has a big brake kit on it as well. And there is some stuff available for our JL, JT things. But surprisingly, because the OEs are so good anymore at what they do, sometimes it's a downgrade. But we will actually discuss that with you and point you in the right direction. We're not going to sell you parts that you don't need.
Right. And that, I think, is actually a piece that we can talk about in the upcoming series. And we talk yes. about that there are some big breaks out there for that JL, JT platforms. But, you know, that you have to be kind of particularly careful of what you're putting on there, because mm-hmm. that the OEs actually do have some massive brake components available.
Yep.
Now there are, we have here, a customer had a bare brake kit that actually took it from a dual caliper piston to a six yes. Piston caliper.
Yeah. We're into, you know, hypercar stuff,
which is a phenomenal amount of clamping pressure
yep.
By comparison. But those are things that we're going to unpack for you in the next coming series. So you're going to want to join us, whether that be on Spotify, as Charles has done previously, or if you are one of our regulars who join us live in your fake meetings or listening to us while you're
in
at
the court.
We value you and your priority of spending this time with us. That means so much. And we thank you for being part of the original Jeep family.
Yes,
for sure. Is there anything else to add, guys?
Other than a couple last-minute comments, there was in the back of my mind, hey, dummy, you got to drive it home.
Always.
Charles said, great show.
The hey, dummy, drive it home, that's a lot of it about if you don't, if you are towing.
You just need a Neil or a Scott as a friend that can come get you. That's all you need.
Well, you just phone a friend, right?
Phone a friend, yep. And then Chuck said, 2-0 is impressing him, towing this trailer through some hairy stuff. Shout out to SFJ for getting Hell on Wheels and trailer set up for his bucket list trip.
Excellent. Yep.
Glad to hear you're having a good experience
right?
with that.
Right? Scratch that one off your list.
And then Darla said, or just chilling on the couch.
Amen yep. to that, or yep. just chilling. And we had a blast with you guys, folks. I hope that you continue to tune in with us in the next couple series while we continue to unpack this towing process, both the good, the bad, and the ugly, towing with your Jeep, the technical aspects thereof, interspersed with some you know, cattywampus stories of our own successes and failures. As always, we have a ton of work to do here. Check out Jeffrey's live Tuesday update tomorrow, ideally, and then you should see some fun stuff on our YouTube video, which has recently been rebranded as Life in Low Range. So if you've been following us long enough, you'll know that before it was called Tech Tuesday, then was kind of the Tech Tuesday vlog. It's this concept of where does the Jeep life take us? And so as we continue to brand and have more success, because of you guys, our listeners, followers, and friends and family, that lifestyle vlog of where the Jeep life takes us, has been rebranded as Life in Low Range. It's still supposed to release every Tuesday or Wednesday at latest. There's a lot of fun, you know, Jeep stuff in there, but then there's other, you know, some ridiculous towing experiences. I can promise you that I was towing inappropriately in this most recent video. There was actually rappelling from the ceiling, possibly, and I ordered something special for the limousine. So you're going to want to tune in and figure that out on YouTube. Folks, we had a great time. We got a lot of Jeeps to build. And as always, Jeep on.
Jeep on.
Jeep on.